the many realms of Azeroth to the great dark beyond via the magic of podcasting, this is episode 68 of The Rolling Restart, a World of Warcraft podcast for all of us. I am Brian Black, otherwise known as Ro, and my co-host today spent 14 years of his life completing tasks to obtain a mount in World of Warcraft. He was doing plenty of other things, and obviously this mount wasn't even available until Battle for Azeroth, but that's not the point! 14 years! There are three things that I know will make this man cry. Amazing Grace played on bagpipes, Mechagon item drop rates, and the price of admission he had to pay to see the movie Downsizing. Depending on your faction, he's either a gnome or a troll of many voices and the proud owner of 440 mounts and counting. It's Mark Conan. How's it going, man?
Man, Downsizing was an awful movie.
My goodness. I have not had the pleasure.
Oh, it's like you're gonna have to be in a mood to watch it, and then just let me know what you think, because it was an awful piece of movie. Do not spend money on it, but if someone just like, if you're walking down the street and someone like does a drive by accosting and throws something at you, and it just happens to be Downsizing on DVD or Laserdisc, go ahead and put it in there just to hate watch it. But other than that, don't waste your time or money, because that was awful. But hey, Ro.
I wonder if FilmSack will ever cover that movie.
Oh, my goodness. If they do, that would give me an excuse to experience the movie again, kind of. If they did that, I would do that. Otherwise, it's just, oh, so bad. But yeah, how you doing, buddy? It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. It's been a little while. We've had some time pass between the last time. Last we were talking about how excited we were for 8.2 with it being all on the PTR and stuff. And here we are several weeks into 8.2. A number of things have happened. Some time has passed. And I'm just excited to talk about a number of things. 8.2, classic WoW, of course, is on the horizon. I'm sure we'll touch that. Mm-hmm. And of course, because you're on the show, I do apologize in advance if it feels like you're being typecast for these episodes, but I gotta talk about mounts, especially because mounts are kind of on the forefront of my mind lately. So we're going to do some of that and probably have a little bit of fun along the way. Something that I spent way too much time preparing for this episode. How are you? How has World of Warcraft been for you over these past few months?
Oh, it's going pretty well. It's going pretty well. My expectations were pretty high about 8.2 when it came out, because, gnomes, Mechagon, this entire new area dedicated to me. And by me, I mean my race, and by my race, I mean the half gnome, half robot things with the curse of flesh lifted. But yeah, yes, it was a huge area. And also Nazjatar. I know, we've been chasing Ashara for years and years, and all the teasing to where is she at? What's it going to look like? So as a big lore nerd, this was going to be very, very good to get this big just chunk of information and world to explore. So, and I got to say, it didn't disappoint. I think this has been a large step in the right direction for what WoW needs to do to continue being one of the most influential games that we've got on this planet, because it's they're answering some of the questions and concerns that we've had at the beginning of Battle for Azeroth while still pushing us forward and pushing the story ahead. And I think it was a pretty good patch. I think this is going to be probably one of the better ones. When we look back, you know, in a couple of expansions, they'll say, oh yeah, 8.2, solid addition to the game. It had brought in a lot of cool stuff. And like you said, a lot of mounts. Like 30 mounts, but split between everything. And it's just, and of course, you know, my whenever they say, oh yeah, it's gonna be all these mounts in here, I'm like, what, more mounts? What? Oh man, I thought I was gonna have to eat this week, but nope, I just got to get up, go to work, come back and grind out these mounts.
Who needs sustenance? Your sustenance is mounts.
Yes, I live off getting mounts. Yes. And it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good for me so far, this expansion, or this patch, I should say. It's been going pretty well. So yeah, the game's been good to me. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of teamwork. I know you before the show, you told me you haven't worked so much in Nazjatar at getting like the meta for the crab mount or anything like that.
Right.
But to get the rares, there's some of those rares that you have to coordinate and do things with multiple people and actually spawn an event. It's not just waiting for it to spawn. You know, you got to go and do the thing and do this thing. And it's pretty cool. I like the way that they kind of made a variety of how to get the mount, not to just stand there waiting for it to spawn, except the one that's the big Ray Soundless. It's got like a 8 to 12 hour respawn timer. And the other day I was just sitting and I looked away for just a quick second. And then I looked back at the chat and it was like Soundless, 100% Soundless dead. It's like, ah, come on.
Okay. I have to ask because I haven't really touched on a whole lot of Nazjatar with like the odds and ends of it. I've heard about this Soundless thing because I've seen it brought up in chat in Nazjatar a few times. Tell me, what's the drop rate on Soundless like for the mount it gives?
Well, I've killed it. I've killed it probably 8 or 10 times, and I've yet to see anybody get it. And
wow,
yeah. So I think according to where is it? Yeah, according to Wowhead, so far the silent glider that drops from Soundless is a 0.36% drop rate so far. So this is one of those that I'm going to probably be farming into the next 3 expansions. So yeah, so we shall see. You know, there are those mounts that you miss when it's like current content, but then you go back and you'll farm it up. And so I think that Soundless, you know, barring any unforeseen awesome, you know, loot rolling, then I will probably wait a few years before it drops in my bags, which is just fine by me. You know, it's not, you know, the Manta Rays look cool, but like they're fine. I already have the one from being exalted with the Ancoans, so I've got one. So I'm like, okay, well, I've got that one. It's not like a super, super awesome different model or something. So I'll wait. I'll just enjoy the ride and get it eventually.
Awesome. I myself, you know, I too have a mount that I'm kind of happy to talk about. And oddly enough, it's not anything from Mechagon, just as some people saw this on Twitter. But when it comes to myself and mounts, my general rule is I like mounts that are purple, red, or green because those tend mm-hmm. to be very warlock-themed colors. And not too long ago, I was doing an island expedition, just doing it to grind out my 4 for the week, get the artifact power, get my treasure map, do that whole thing. I already have the legendary essence from doing island expeditions. Wow. This is how much I love island expeditions, people. I have the legendary essence from it. If that doesn't say how much I love island expeditions, I don't know what does. And doing an island expedition, for the first time ever, I've never seen anyone else get a mount drop, like showing it in their item pool when you win and stuff, but I got the Twilight Avenger, which is a Twilight Drake with a very kind of deep purple, black, and red hue to it. There's purple and then there's purple, and this one's a very nice purple. I was very happy to get it and also very shocked because apparently it's about one of the rarest mounts I have in my collection.
Yeah, according to Wowhead, 1% of the profiles on Wowhead have that mount. So you are the 1%.
I am the 1%. Well, we knew it would happen someday, and it's finally come to this. I'm now the 1% in World of Warcraft. Well,
there you go. It's a beautiful mount, though. My goodness. The coloring, like you said, yeah. That purple is, oh, it's beautiful. I am very happy
really
for
pops.
You, very elated, and very, very jealous of you all at the same time. So that's awesome. So congrats on getting that. It is so fantastic to get it. I thought it was a myth. I have never known anyone to get it so far this expansion, except for you.
Yeah, you know, the one that I was hoping to get from Island Expeditions was the Parrot Mount, the Squawks, or I've seen other people ride it. I've had no luck getting it myself, but you know what? I will take the Twilight Avenger as a consolation prize. Mm-hmm. If I never get another Island Expedition mount, it's fine. It's really okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think at least for this expansion, the Island Expeditions, you know, unless you're even more dedicated than Ro is to these, then you will probably only get one. Because right now I've got the Kinsho's Eternal Hound. That's the only one I got, and I got it early on. So there's total of 9 amounts from the island expedition. So
that's nuts.
Yeah. But I decided that I, you know, and the thing with collecting mounts is, you know, and I've had several people come up to me and ask me, you know, what do I need to do? And I said, just focus on one or two things that you can do while you're playing the game to just kind of mm-hmm. focus in and do that part. If it's grinding out marks or currency or something, go ahead and focus on that. And so one thing I've decided to switch to doing whenever I'm not doing Nazjatar or Mechagon is doing island expeditions, because I'm so close to, I'm like maybe 200 doubloons away from the Siltwing Albatross, the one that costs 1,000. And then I'll just grind out the other 500 for the Saltwater Seahorse and then get those out of the way. And then also, you know, maybe work on my 7th Legion, or it was the Honor Bound for the Horde, the faction for the war campaign, working on those mounts too, because there's a couple from that. Yeah, there's like the Crocolisk thing, not Crocolisk, the whatever, Crocolisk. But yeah, there's that. And then there's for the Alliance, there's a Moon Saber that looks really awesome.
Yeah, there's no shortage of mounts that you can go after in World of mm-hmm. Warcraft, even for Markkonen, who has 440 mounts, which they don't have an achievement for 500 yet, but you feel like they've got to put it in 8.3.
Yeah, if not that, I think they do have a 400. I'm thinking they'll do a 450. If not for 8.3, they'll definitely do it for 9.0. Because I think that's when they put in the 400 and the 350 and the 400 was when, mm-hmm. 8.0 came out, and I earned both of those. Like, well, I earned the 350 immediately. And then I had needed like maybe 3 or 4 to get the Fel Talon for 400. So it's nuts. It's so nuts how many you can get throughout the years when that's the thing that you decide to do in the game. You know, everybody's got their thing.
Hey, everyone's got their thing. I've got Island Expeditions. You've got all the mounts, well, or at least all the mounts that no one else has. I can only imagine who has the most mounts in World of Warcraft. If there's anyone in game who has all the mounts,
it would have to have been somebody that was playing since the beginning, because the, like, especially the Black Karaji battle tank from the opening of Ankaraj. Like, I want that one so bad, but like the great white boat, the great white whale that I will, there's like two of them that I know I'll never get, and that's the Black Karaji battle tank and the big blizzard bear. Because
wait a minute, Markkonen.
Mm-hmm.
I just figured it out.
What's that?
This is why World of Warcraft Classic is happening, to give you that second chance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yep. That's why they did it. I gotta get up. Gotta get... Well, no, wait.
Would you go... But seriously, would you go after that, though? If they do the whole AQ launch thing for the Black Karaji mount, is that something you would try to do?
You know, it's... I'm of two minds about it, because, of course, I want the mount. And that would be fantastic if I was able to get it. Even, you know... Even though I didn't get it originally, I could get it in Classic. But the thing mm-hmm. about it is Classic and Live, they're on different sides of the pond. They don't cross over at all. Mm. So I wouldn't be able to bring those mounts to the game. In fact, I think somebody asked them that at the Q&A last BlizzCon, or somebody mentioned it and asked them. And I think Ian said that no, they are completely separate. No transmog, no none of that. Nothing's going to cross over from the original game to Live. And for that reason, I'm leaning more towards no, because I'm already working on so many mounts on the Live game that to take away that, you know, and I know this will go into our conversation later about Classic, but
yeah
so I'll save it for that. But yeah, I think I'm kind of split on it, but I'm leaning towards no, because, you know, I just didn't get it back then, and I have to accept it begrudgingly.
I also think I recall that mounts actually take up bag space in Classic.
They do, as do pets. Yep.
Oh, goodness. Man, that's a whole other conversation. We may get to some of that in a bit. Normally, more often than not, at the top of the show, I will ask people to submit questions on Twitter. This time around, because last episode was me answering all the questions, I decided to put it in reverse and toss a question out there for people. And Markkonen, since you're on, I had to ask the question that you mentioned yourself hate to answer. And that is, which mount in WoW is your favorite and why? And before I attempt to pry that answer from you, Markkonen, I'm going to just read off a few replies here. Ben Baumhofer from the show said the Lothian Prowler, it's sleek, classy, and freaking beautiful. Monica Wicked Kitten says Sandstone Drake, it's been a dream of mine for some time to gain the ability to turn into a dragon soaring through the air, beautiful, elusive, released from gravity. You only need to look inside yourself for the wings that will fly you to freedom. She is my white whale.
I think that's an awesome answer.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Nevermore replied with a gif of Invincible and crying emoji.
Oh yeah.
I always have to remember whenever I'm in raid to not use my favorite mount button on the possibility that it ends up with Invincible, because it just would make Nevermore upset.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the same reaction about a certain other mount.
Perhaps it's one from Alessandra that she likes, and she replied, I can't tell you because I don't think Markkonen has it yet, and it would be mean. I didn't really like the look of it until it dropped, and I realized how amazing it is. Pictures don't do it justice, so here's a picture. And it's a picture of the pink love rocket.
Yep, that'd be the one, bro. That would be it.
So, a quick aside here. How many attempts this year did you make to get that
thing? Oh, my goodness. Easily in the hundreds, if, you know, because I had like, okay, well, maybe I think I had 15 tunes, and I did it on 15 a day for at least the 2 weeks. So whatever 15 times 14 is, let me do some quick math. At least 210. Yeah, at least 210 attempts. So yeah, it's going to be that way again. Actually, I need to start leveling up some more characters now that we're like halfway to the next Love is in the Air event. So yeah. Got to keep trucking along. Maybe 2020 is going to be my year. We'll see.
There's always next year.
There's always next year. Yep.
As far as the Love Rocket goes, as of right now, based on statistics, I have access to 1.5% of WoW players supposedly have the big Love Rocket. I feel like that's an exaggeration.
Yeah, I think it might be. Yeah. Yeah, because it's kind of like the one that drops off Shaw of Anger.
Right?
That thing is so darn rare that I think I've seen the Big Love Rocket. You know, I see the Big Love Rocket more nowadays than I used to, of course. But, like, I've seen the one that drops off Shaw of Anger once.
Yeah.
In my, so far, since Mist.
I think I've seen it twice.
Yeah, and that's the exact same number of times I've seen the Black Karaji Battle Tank. And the last time I saw that was in Cataclysm, because I was in a five-man group, and a gnome warrior with the Death Scare, Scarab Lord title, with the title from that mount, he was on it. And I just stopped, and I was like, dude, you have...
Did you have to wipe the drool off your face for a moment there?
Yes, I did. I almost got it on the keyboard. And I was like, man, that mount and title. And he's like, yeah, I know. He's like, yeah, man, I know. So, yeah, those things are just, so rare. But the good thing about it is that I can work. You know, I do my due diligence. I every day I get in there during the Love is in the Air event. And I do my stuff. You know, I do the runs, try for the mount. I streamed it every day last year and the year before, just on the off chance that I get it. And you're going to get the greatest OMG drop face from my face with the camera in the world, just on the off chance. Because like when the Phoenix dropped for me, Ashes of Alar,
yeah,
out of Tempest Keep, like I almost like stopped and took a picture of my face because my jaw was dragging on my lap because it just finally dropped for me. So I want to get that for posterity if it does for the Big Love Rocket. So coming the Big Love Rocket or bust 2020. Just like in a few months, like 6 months, stay tuned for that.
Can't wait.
Watch me have continual letdown face for 2 weeks.
You know, we're going to, I mean, you're going to be on at least a couple of times before that time, but you definitely need to be on during Love is in the Air. If I can pry you away from the game for like an hour from farming the Love Rocket. I mean, who knows how many more alts you'll have for that then?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I may be booked up. I may have to take the week off from 2 weeks off from work. So we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, I may just be doing runs the entire time.
Continuing on with replies here, Rhiannon says, my favorites are the proto drakes, especially the ironbound and rusted protos. My friend and I busted our butts to do both sets of achievements. Those two specifically are nostalgic for me. I love all protos, though. I feel like a badass when I'm flying through the skies. I will say, while not one of my top five favorite mounts, anytime I hear the word proto drake, I remember the pain and the agony and the journey that was. What a long, strange trip it's been.
Oh, yes. Especially Children's
Week. And Children's Week will never be the same.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, man, that Children's Week was rough.
Yeah, it was. Frosty Fox from the Worgen's House says, I mean, the Vulpine Familiar is one of my faves since it's the closest I'll come to being in the game. Haha. Other than that, it has to be my original Jade Cloud Serpent. Just the way they move, how you raised your fist from how you raised your first one from an egg and how beautiful they are makes it my fave. And the Scruffy Druid replies, I love my Crimson Death Charger. I work for that on my Paladin, and yet my Druid uses it the most. Love the Lucid Nightmare because that was pretty fun to go through, but I'm always going to love my Stormcrow form the best. Kara says, I want to nominate Aliandris's Frog Mount, specifically when we're getting ready to do the Blackwater Behemoth fight, and she makes it swim upside down and do the flippy loop de loops underwater because it cracks me up every time. You know, I don't think I have a single Frog Mount.
I don't either, because they're a third of a million gold. And
oh, they're not a drop, they're just a purchase mount, huh?
They are a purchase. They're all 333,333 gold. So that's why I don't have any yet, because I can always go back and buy them. Mm-hmm. Like I hit Exalted with the Rust Bolt Resistance last week, yeah. And I didn't buy the flying rusted version of that mount just yet, because even with the discount, it's like 412,000 gold, and mm-hmm. That'll almost wipe me out. So it's like, well, maybe I should just buy a bunch of cheaper mounts. You know, get three mounts for the price of one or something. But yeah, sure. The gold ones, the store mounts, I usually just don't. I don't go out of my way to just buy immediately, because there's like three or four of the store mounts I don't have yet. I always wait for Christmas when they go on half price, and I get them then.
Okay, since you brought up store mounts, now's as good a time as any to go because Pandora's you box. Knew we were going to go here at some point in this conversation. Mm-hmm. So let's go there right now. There's a couple of new alabaster something carved stone mounts for Horde and Alliance, $25 gets you both. We had that one mount, where if you got 6 months of WoW, you got it for free, or you could get the mount separately. Mm-hmm. There exists this culture and this segment of the player base that is disgusted by the concept or idea of anyone owning any of these mounts. I'd like to know, what are your thoughts on store mounts? How do you feel about them? And how does it matter to you whether what someone does with their money or not? I know that's a loaded question.
It is a very loaded question. And it's, and you know, this is a pretty large part of the player base, you know, has a very strong opinion one way or the other about it. And, you know, there's a lot of levels to it, you know, so we'll unpack this onion. So basically, my take on it is, I am perfectly fine with them adding cosmetic things into the game, because they don't break gameplay. You know, if they had put the Mighty Caravan Brutosaur, the big auction house one, 5 million gold, which, you know, if you do the math is... If you went and bought tokens with real money and saved up 5 million gold and bought it, you would have spent probably $600 or so on that mount. So in a way, you know, that kind of goes into what I was going to say later on. So I'll put a pin in that. But as the one thing that I don't like about the store mounts is that it's a unique model. So it on one hand, which is good for Blizzard for them making money, it attracts people to buy it because I'm one of those people that will buy the mounts because they do appeal to me. I do like the way they look. For the most part, I like the style of them. They look really unique. I've done it ever since the Sparkle Pony. I waited in the queue for 8 hours to get my Sparkle Pony because it was just a queue back then and on a web page. And I waited for it, but so it's unique. It's really nice. You know, it adds to my collection. You know, it's another space in the stable that I've filled up with, you know, one more point to the next achievement, but it doesn't really affect gameplay. You know, if they put the auction house mount up for real money or a transmog mount, you know, things that change gameplay in a way or did something, I would have a stronger opinion against those not being in the game because, you know, this is a game we already pay for. You know, Ro, we pay for this thing monthly. We're already putting our money into it, you know. Right.
That's the big argument that a lot of people make. Those who are against store mounts, they're like, we're already paying a sub. Why should this content be blocked off from us? And I'm like,
it's not blocked.
It's not blocked considering you could earn gold and turn it into WoW tokens, turn it into Blizzard balance and get
exactly.
It. But here is my opinion on microtransactions, because that's what mounts and pets on the WoW store and stuff. I mean, they're basically microtransactions. Mind you, $25 isn't that micro a transaction compared to other microtransaction for things. But if you want to put a price on something and sell something and people are going to buy it, great. I don't have a problem with transactions for cosmetic items for a game. I don't have a problem with transactions for items as long as they don't affect gameplay. And on top of that, I would also add, as long as the promotional, the advertising aspect of the thing is done in a way that, and this is all kind of based on my opinion and perception, as long as I feel it doesn't prey too hard on people who are easily influenced by that kind of thing. In other words, am I anti-loot box? Yes. That said, do I play Hearthstone, which is kind of like a loot box thing? Yeah. Have I opened loot boxes in Overwatches and Heroes of the Storm? Yeah. Am I a hypocrite? Yes, to a degree, but I'm still anti-loot box for the most part. But when I do go into the loot box thing, I'm not the kind of person who I feel like I have to keep on opening and opening and opening loot boxes. I will buy a certain number, and usually I'm done after that number. If I get something cool, great. If I didn't get what I wanted, then I pretty much just shrug and say, guess it wasn't meant to be. That said, I'm not, and everyone's not like me. There are people who are easily influenced by the whole loot box thing, and it can lead to bad things. And I mean, yes, there's a degree of personal responsibility and all that, and that could go on into a whole other conversation. And there's parenting when it comes to little kids and such. I feel like when it comes to these kind of transactions, it has to be done carefully. And I think more often than not, it's not done carefully enough.
Yeah, I completely agree, because the one thing if they did it differently with the store mounts, the thing with the store mounts that I'm okay with, other than it not affecting gameplay, is you get what you see. You see what you get. You know, sure. I pay $25, I get the mount. You know, or I'll get both alabaster mounts.
That's true. It's not like there's a drop chance on this mount. It's not like you're paying $25 to maybe get the mount. You are definitely getting it. Yeah. And I mean, that's you can kind of look at it as, some people always complain about the price of Blizzard store mounts. I have been one of them. I still complain about the price of Blizzard store mounts. But at least you could look at it from the perspective of, yes, you are paying $25 for this mount, but at least you're not spending $100 on random chances to maybe get that mount.
Exactly. That's where I would be screaming from the rooftops about it if they gave me a chance. Like, the worst thing they could do is have, oh, here's your mount loot box. There's a chance for a big love rocket or a big blizzard bear or the super rare one from Shaw of Anger. You know, all of these rare mounts, old retired mounts, the black battle tank. There's like a 1% chance you'll get it. And I'm like, what? If they did that.
Well, there is the black market auction house, but the cost of those like unknown containers on the black market auction house, the gold cost is just so high.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing with that is that, you know, the Blizzard Bear and the Big Love Rocket aren't part of that. They do have,
right.
They do have the plagued, Proto Drake, the one that dropped from, I think it's either 10 or 25, man, the old, Obsidian Sanctum, the ones they took out,
mm-hmm.
which I don't like. For the most part, I don't like Blizzard taking out mounts, especially achievement mounts, which is, and they did that. They did it for that. And they also did it for Trial of the Champion, like the trial of the Grand Crusade, I should say, because they had those horses that you could get. It was like the first time the Horde could get a horse. And, you know, they took those out after the season, after Ulduar started, not Ulduar, Lich King. After they started ICC, they took those out. I don't like them doing that. I want, if it's an achievement, let it be an achievement that's awesome and only a select few people have it. But later on, people can go get it later because it adds to the gameplay. It lets you do something with the game. But yeah, as far as store mounts go, shut your pie hole. Let people enjoy it. Let me do with my money.
And please don't slash spit at people who are using them, because on top of other things, you don't know if they got that mount as a gift or not.
Exactly. And if for a lot of people, if you're already a 6 month sub, I think didn't they just give you the Silverian one, the new one? If you already had a 6 month sub,
yes.
It could be for that. When the Dreadwake, the pirate ship came out, I did the one time mm-hmm. 6 month thing so I could get it, because I'm already going to spend that money over 6 months. Blizzard has me hook, line and sinker. I'm still going to play. Wow. It's not like I'm a month to month player. I use the token every month. I don't. I set aside $15 of my paycheck every month for it, because I know I'm going to play. I have friends. I like you, Ro. I have tons of friends. So I'm going to play. So I'm going to pay for it. And if I was already on the 6 month sub, I already have that mount. I didn't go out of my way to buy it, but I actually did. I actually spent the money on that, but that's neither here nor there. Because it's so pretty. I mean, it's the Vulpine Familiar. It's a pretty mount, not my style. That's why I don't have it yet. Or the Luminous Star Seeker, the one that came from Argus, the one that looks like a cat with the changes color. Haven't bought that yet. Cause it's not my style, but I'll get it one day. But not, if it's a pretty mount, you know, I've got the money to spend. Let me spend my money. You know, yeah, I could, you know, go to a movie with that money, but you know, unless it's downsizing, you know, it would be wasting my money on that one. But if, you know, I could do that, or I could just spend my money how I want to. Now, it doesn't affect you. It only makes you angrier if you are upset about it. There's nothing wrong with it. And if you want the mount so bad, it's in the game. Just earn some gold, turn it into Blizzard balance, like you said earlier, Ro, and buy it. There are ways to get it in the game either way. You know, I do like one thing I will, you know, one thing I will say that I, you know, before I've heard of, you know, who's the one person who seems to be at the nexus of all of this is good old Asmongold.
Yeah, I was hoping to avoid the name, but now that you have evoked it's fine. Since you've said it, I'm going to put this out there, because it's not like I'm going to duck away from this. I am anti-Asmongold, and if you're listening to this show, you better accept that. And I'm sorry if you like him, if you think he's a great content creator. I do not like the effect that he has on a significant portion of the community that plays the game that I enjoy. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, and you know, the game is big enough that we have people who have all these different opinions. One thing he does have a good point on is that he would like these unique mounts to be a reward, because a lot of the game, the unique rewards really hard to find and hard to get stuff have not been unique lately. You know,
sure.
the mount from the meta achievement mounts, they're just a recolor.
The Glory of the Raiders tend to be recolors.
Yes,
more often
exactly.
Than not.
They're just recolors of stuff that you've already got. You know, we've already got this model, and yeah, I watched a video by Bellular when he covered this new mount. He actually went by the numbers for the Alabaster mounts to see, you know, how much manpower, how much does it cost with man hours to make a new rig, new skins, new colors, new effects, get it in and programmed in the game. The money that they make at $25 a pop for this mount far exceeds the cost in manpower. It does. It just makes
pennies on the dollar. Yeah,
it's pennies on the dollar. It makes absolute sense for them to do this, and so I understand why they do it. But if they could take a little bit of that, tone it back just a hair, and devote some more dev time to rig up new awesome mounts that come from the lead, from the glory mounts, from the, you know, the PvP ones, like the Vicious mounts and the Gladiator mounts are already slightly tweaked versions of the flying mounts that we already got. So those are good. Those are in a good spot, I would think. But I think if they did spend a little bit of that dev time on making really awesome new models, like they do with the Mythic drop mounts, you know, the Felsteel Annihilator from Arkhamon, or the Water Elemental from Jaina, that thing, I was doing backflips when I saw that because it looks amazing. And if they would introduce those mounts first in the really hard to get content, because, you know, as Mr. A, Mr. Asmongold, he's part of the old guard that the achievements, the things that you worked hard for were like something you would parade around in Orgrimmar or Stormwind. They were badges of honor of something that you have achieved. And so he feels slighted because these really awesome looking rewards are so easy to get. Any of the normies can get it. All they got to do is cough up some change. And I understand it. But the way that it gets approached, I think could be done with a little bit toned down, a little more grace, a little less yelling and raging and angry. But I do think he does have a good point as far as that goes, as far as, you know, making the game have really awesome mounts that are badges of honor instead of just like, oh, it's another. Like, one thing that bugs me is that now that we have flying, I can get 3 griffins, right? And I think you can get 3 wyverns of just griffins from the new, mounts from the new our factions that we already pretty much have exalted to. But they're like almost 100,000 gold for another griffin. Like, I have lots of griffins. I think I have every griffin that they've unleashed until those.
I would rather put that 100,000 gold away toward getting a Brontosaur mount.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, kind of like going back to the rust, like the frog, like the frog's 300K. Mm-hmm. I could get all 3 of those griffins, 3 more spots towards my next achievement for the 1 frog. And so the big gold mounts, a little harder for me to do. I bought the spider mount that was 2 million because thing was so hard to wait for the vendor. So I waited for that vendor for like weeks until he popped up to get it. But just cause it was so rare. Now any just mount I can go vendor and grab, I always wait on until I have the gold. But I do think that he has a point as far as that goes. So I think there's something they could do to kind of meet in the middle.
For me, when it comes to him specifically, it's not what he's saying, it's how he's saying it and how his community is reacting to it that's turning me off.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I don't really watch him. Sometimes I'll see him react to a video that I'd watch just to see, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, okay. Well, because, you know, there's been times where, you know, I thought something was funny and I'd see it on his stream or something. You know, I know who he is and I've seen some of it, but I don't know what his exact words were that he said. I don't know if he told his community to go out and spit on people.
He did tell people to
do okay.
that. Okay. I literally saw him do
okay.
that.
Okay. Yes. Well, in that case, yeah, that's a really crap thing to do. Because you're calling to action. That's something that you shouldn't do. You know, have your opinion, but don't tell people to go forth, my minions, and do this thing, because now you're responsible for it. Now you catch the heat for it. So yeah, it's as far as store mounts go, spend your money how you want to. But I think if Blizz would take an eye towards having this, you know, making the hard to get mounts really awesome looking, because that lets people spend more time in the game. Yeah, it's not the best for their bottom line, but, you know, maybe just do a little bit of both, not just all one way or all the other way. Just split it up a little bit. I think that would.
Why not both?
Yeah, exactly. Why not both? I think that would help.
I think that takes care of our obligatory discussion of store mounts for this episode. finishing up the answers to the question of what's your favorite mount. Let's see here. Bacon Way says Hawk Strider, but only if I'm in Boomkin form for the sheer joy of seeing a chicken prancing around on a chicken chickenception. Leo Wild says Vulpine Familiar. I like its overall aesthetic, and it's the one rare flying mount that doesn't look silly if you have to use as a ground mount. It was also a gift from a friend, and as a fox, it reminds me of the tenuous hope I've maintained campaigning for Volpera. I do believe Volpera will become an allied race at some point. Keep on campaigning, mm-hmm. my friend. Draven Dresden says, the Big Love Rocket, partially for the name, the subsequent lulls, and partially for the rarity, 1,314 confirmed attempts to get it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Of anybody else in the game that has felt my pain, yet still held strong and kept with it until he or she earned it, it would be Draven. He's my brother in arms when it comes to it comes to the big love rocket. So since he got it this year, maybe now it's my turn next year. So here's what's hoping for.
All right. Kara says, my mage class Hallmount, it makes me feel like I'm riding a round surfboard through the skies. Whoosh. And finally, Moogiver says, turbocharged flying machine is the only correct answer. I disagree. As an engineer, Moogiver, I would say Mimron's head is also a viable answer. And there's a number of mounts in Mechagon that you really should look into, because some of them are pretty darn cool from an engineering point of
view. Yeah, that entire zone is screaming Moogiver's name. Like, oh.
Yeah, right? It's Moogiver Island. Instead of calling it Mechagon, they should just call it Moogon.
Yeah.
Because you put Moogiver there, he'd just be gone from WoW. That's the only place he'd live there for the rest of his days.
He would set up shop. That would be, he would have like Moogiver's corner right there next to, right next to the junkyard depot, you know, or whatever, a junkwat.
He should take over he should kick Bondo out and take over that place.
Yes. That would be fantastic.
Bondo is a jerk.
Bondo Nomo. It would just be Moogiver.
Yep.
Welcome to Moogiver Island.
I can't believe we've already spent so much time talking about this stuff on the show, and we haven't even gotten to Classic yet. Markkonen, we're going to still keep on talking about mounts for a bit. In fact, Markkonen, would you care to play a little game?
Absolutely. I love a good game.
All right. Well, then, I'm going to give you the chance to make me deposit an absurd amount of gold into my guild's guild bank.
Oh, really?
We're not going to play. We're going to play a little game called Who Wants to Beat a WoW Millionaire?
Sounds good.
All right. So this is how it's going to work. Markkonen, I have 15 questions for you. Unlike Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, these are all going to pretty much have a very similar format in that I'm going to give you the names of four mounts, and you need to tell me which mount is owned by the smallest portion of the player base. In other words, which mount is the most rare. Now, when I say that, I don't mean which mount has the lowest drop rate. I am using information from worldofwarcrafts.com based on statistics that they have gathered as of August 8th of 2019. So just a few days difference from the time that we're recording this. It's an interesting site. After this, you should definitely check it out. Some of these statistics about how much of the player base has these mounts was a bit surprising. And I think I'm curious to see how far you're going to be able to go on this. So here's how this is going to work. The first question, if you get it right, means that I'm going to have to deposit 50 gold into the guild bank of Alea Iacta Est Audacia.
Alrighty.
This goes all the way up to, if you can answer all 15 questions correctly, I'm going to dump 100,000 gold into that guild bank.
Oh, wow.
So, a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I know.
Guild repairs for this entire guild are on the line here. Are you ready to play for them?
I guess I have to be. I'll do my best AIE.
Okay, well then, without further ado, let's go to question one of Who Wants to Beat a WoW Millionaire. All right. Well, the first five questions are pretty quick and pretty easy. So, for 50 gold, which one of these is the most rare amongst the player base? A, Blue Karaji Battle Tank. B, Red Karaji Battle Tank. C, Green Karaji Battle Tank. Or D, Yellow Karaji Battle Tank.
Man, you couldn't have just put the black one in there for one of the options. Ah, that would have been an easy one. Ah, instinct would tell me to say B, the Red Karaji Battle Tank. Why? Because it's red. And there's a feat of strength tied to it. So, but, gosh, that makes me wonder if more people would farm it because of the feat of strength, so they're in there long enough to get it, wear it while maybe not caring about the blue, green, or yellow. So that makes me, or you could have put ultramarine. I'm sure that one was the rarer one because that's from archaeology. So you're really putting me on the spot here.
On the first question, fail the first question, oh my goodness.
This is tough. This is a little tough because they're all from the same spot. They drop at this from the same mobs. Gosh. Oh, this is tough. I'll go with my first instinct, be the red Karaji battle tank.
Final answer?
I'm probably wrong. Final answer.
All right. Your instincts did serve you well. It is definitely B, red Karaji battle tank. It's a 50 gold question mark, Conan. I'm not going to make it that rough on you.
Thank you. I'm actually sweating. I'm like really sweating over here.
All right. Well, 50 gold's going into the Audacia Bank for sure. Let's go on for 100 gold. Which of these is the most rare amongst the player base? A, Hearthsteed. B, Dreadsteed. C, Celestial Steed. Or D, Fellsteed?
Huh. Let's see. Hearthsteed comes from Hearthstone. The Dreadsteed and Fellsteed, those are both warlock mounts. I think. I know the Celestial Steed is the store mount. More people buy the store mount, or did they play the Hearthstone for it?
Remember, we're also talking 2019 statistics as of right now, and the game does have a long history.
That's true. It does have a long history. The percentage of...
By the way, I will give you two 50-50s in lieu of not being able to phone a friend or pulling the
audience. Okay. You know, I should have asked about lifelines before that. I forgot to. Let's see here. To me, it seems to be a toss-up between A and C. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where my mind's my instincts are taken, because I believe the Dreadsteeds and the Fellsteeds are both warlock. But warlocks are one of... You know, how many people are warlocks? Like, this is a complex question. There's a lot of layers that I'm overthinking of it.
How many people have rolled a warlock? Exactly. How many people have rolled the best rate, the best class?
Clearly not enough if
Annalise would agree.
Clearly. Exactly, yeah. I love my warlock. She's awesome. Great. Gosh, this is tough. So for me, it's between A and C. I'm going to... And we have 15 questions, right?
This is number two.
This is number two, and it's already tough. I'm going to say A, Hearthsteed. Final answer.
A, final answer. Well, the Warlock is a very popular class. There are 77% of people who have the Dreadsteed, which is the higher level mount. 83% have the Fellsteed. And 67% of the player base has played Hearthstone long enough to get the Hearthsteed. Actually, the Celestial Steed being a store mount drove off a lot of people from it. It's C, Celestial Steed, with 18.9%. Mark
Only
Conan.
18%? Wow.
And thus ends an epic run.
An epic run of two questions. Dang it. I should have done the 50-50. So I don't get to does that end the game or?
I mean, normally, yeah, that would end the game, but I'm willing to, we're going to say I'm only depositing 50 gold into the Audacia Guild Bank. I mean, that's written in stone.
Okay.
But let's go through the rest of these really quick, and rather, instead of talking them out too much with all the drama of like who wants to be a millionaire, just take a quick guess answer at, and I'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
Sure. That sounds good.
All right. Next one, cloud serpents are the theme. Onyx, jade, azure, or golden cloud serpent? No heavenlies here, just onyx cloud serpent, jade cloud serpent, azure cloud serpent, or golden cloud serpent.
It's got to be the onyx. The onyx is from a quest line with the Shadowpan. It's got to be the onyx.
The onyx is actually a drop from Hoolan. I know because of how often I camped that freaking thing on the Timeless Isle, and yes, that is the one.
Okay, it's probably a different... Which one's from the...
Now I need to look it up and see if I'm
wrong. Hoolan's the Thundering Onyx, because it's got the effect.
Is Hoolan the Thundering Onyx?
Yeah, because that's...
You see, you're about to prove that you know this better than I do. See? Okay, you see, here's me doubting that Mark Honan knows his stuff. Okay, so Hoolan does drop the Thundering Onyx Cloud Serpent. The regular one was the Shadowpan questline, but it's still the most rare.
Okay, good.
because people didn't do the whole quest line.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty involved. It took me a little while to do it.
All right, next one for 300. This would have been the 300 gold one. Blue Dragon Hawk, Red Dragon Hawk, Fell Fire Hawk, or Frenzied Fell Talon.
It's got to be the Frenzied Fell Talon. That's the one for 400 mounts. It beats out because the 200 is the Dragon Hawk and the Fell Fire Hawk is 300, right? Or 250.
The common theme there and the reason why I made it an easy question is because they're all for a number of mounts and the Frenzied Fell Talon is one of the more recent ones, and I figured you'd get that slam dunk. I'm still surprised that you missed the second one.
I know. Well, because it was the first store mount, so I thought people would go out in droves. At least it was part of my self-imposed 50-50 between the Hearthsteed and that.
I think a lot of people have just played WoW since the release of the Celestial Horse and haven't bothered to buy it because it wasn't a thing in their minds, because it wasn't like, ooh, Celestial Steed. I mean, think about all the people that have been that got into the game since that thing was announced.
Well, and arguably so, it's a low-res model. Doesn't look that good when compared to the newer store mounts. If they did an update to it where they upped the resolution of it, put it as like do the hearts like the newer one, I think it'd be great if they just re-released or re-upped it.
Yeah,
they make it to people to buy it then. Listen, Blizzard.
All right, next one: Azure Drake, Emerald Drake, Bronze Drake, or Twilight Drake.
Oh goodness. Okay, let's see. Azure Drake is from Eye of Eternity. Twilight Drake. Where's the Twilight Drake from? That's from OS3D25. Bronze Drake's from Kalinga Stratholme. Emerald Drake is from the Awake the Drakes achievement. So, okay, it's got to be D. It's got to be the Emerald Drake.
Because you need the other three to get it.
Exactly.
And that's why it was an easy question. All right, next one, Heavenly Cloud Serpents. There's Heavenly Azure, Heavenly Onyx, Heavenly Crimson, and Heavenly Golden.
This one's going to be an easy one. It has to be Heavenly Onyx, because that's the one from Shaw of Anger, isn't it?
Yes, and only one, according to World of Warcraft's, 0.5% of the player base supposedly has this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Heavenly Azure is the 300 mount. The Heavenly Crimson is from August Celestial's Exalted, and Heavenly Golden is Exalted with Xiao Hao. So... Those you can grind out. The Shaw of Anger, not as easy to grind out. Trust me, I know.
All right, next one. And this is kind of an interesting one. We've been tossing out some pretty amazing names here, but now we're just going to talk about rams. White ram, gray ram, black ram, or brown ram?
Just the regular rams.
Uh-huh. I will say this, since we're not playing for cash anymore, the trick to this and the reason why it's so easy is because you can't get one of these anymore.
I'm thinking it's the black one that you can't get. Is that one of...
That's
one of the old, like, the old ones that came out at the beginning of vanilla, right?
Mm-hmm, and one's removed in 1.4.
I wish I played diligently back then. If I knew then what I knew now, oh... I'd be getting all those ones that they don't have anymore.
All right, Swift Raptors. There's Swift Purple, Swift Olive, Swift Albino, or Swift Blue.
Instincts tell me see the Swift Albino, because that's the one from Isle of Giants. But I'll go ahead and just guess the Swift Albino. Is that one right?
It's the Swift Purple one, believe it or not.
Swift Purple. Oh, okay.
That one is actually purchased from a vendor in Ice Crown.
Oh, is that the, that's from the Trial of Champions Raptor, isn't
I
it?
Believe for, so, yes.
For the Dark Spear. Ah, okay.
It's
okay.
From, Samamba, the Senjin Quartermaster, so yeah.
Yep, yeah, that's the Senjin, Senjin faction mount.
Yeah, that's one that surprised me, because my gut answer would have been Swift Albino also.
Yeah, just mostly because I don't know the Horde racial mounts as well as I should, so that kind of threw me off there. But at least I knew where the albino raptor came from.
Yep. All right, next one: Drake of the North Wind, Drake of the East Wind, Drake of the West Wind, or Drake of the South Wind.
Oh my goodness, that I love that they did that with the directions.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great when they did that back in Kata.
So I'm gonna give you a hint, and I'm gonna tell you the sources for all four things. Oh, I bet you probably know the sources, actually.
Well, yeah. So the east wind, I think, comes from Vortex Pinnacle.
That's north.
Okay, that's north. And then the east wind comes from Alakir in the raid.
That's south.
Oh, that's south. Okay. Well. Shoot. Goodness. Okay. You go ahead and tell me. That way I can remember which one's which. Oh, my goodness.
North is Vortex Pinnacle. East is Glory of the Cataclysm Raider. West is a purchasable if you're exalted with Baradin's Wardens in Tol Barad.
That's right.
And south is Alakir.
I'm thinking between east and south because, well, I don't know. Gosh, this is tough. More people went through Vortex Pinnacle than maybe the raid. But then again, who ground out the rep for that and got the mount? I'm thinking the Baradin Hold mount, the rep mount. Which one was that again? That was the west?
West wind? You think that's the one?
It's either that or the Alakir, I think.
So the Baradin's one is actually the most common one at 26.2%.
Gosh, that's not a lot.
Yeah, East Wind Cataclysm Raider is 25.5%. North Wind Vortex Pinnacle mount is 12.7%, and only 10% of players have the Alakir mount break of the
South. Okay. Wind. Okay. That works then.
The next four here, I'm going to give you a hint just to kind of speed things along here. One of these is only possessed by a little over 4% of the player base.
Okay.
Is it the Vitreous Stone Drake, Sandstone Drake, Volcanic Stone Drake, or Phosphorescent Stone Drake?
It has to be Phosphorescent. That one drops from ANX.
Yes.
It has to be.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember trying to camp that thing, and I just gave up after the first 2 weeks.
Go after a server reset. If you're around after a server reset, give it a shot then and see if she's up. That's what I've heard other people have had good luck with that.
Protodrakes are next. Plagued Protodrake, Time Lost Protodrake, Black Protodrake, or Violet Protodrake?
Oh, gosh, these are all tough. Plagued, you can get from the boxes. On
yes,
the black
and
market.
That was Glory of the Raider 10-man from Nexramas.
Yeah, Black was 25-man Glory of the Raider, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then, of course, Violet's from Longstream's Trip. Time Lost is Time Lost. I'm thinking it's between Time Lost and the Black. With the time spent since Wrath, a lot of people have gotten it, because I got it in Mists. So I'm going to say Black Protodrake, because they took it out. And
yep.
You can't get it anymore. It has to be the rarest.
It is Black Protodrake, absolutely.
How many percent have that?
Only 0.6% have Black Protodrake. Time Lost is at 5.5%. Violet is at 19.7%.
So about the same as the Celestial Steed. Awesome.
Yeah. All right. The next one, this is getting into the last four questions. This next one is my favorite question because I really am interested to hear your answer on this.
Okay.
So my theme for this question, popular raid mounts, Mimiron's Head, Invincible, Fiery Warhorse, that's from Karazhan, or Ashes of Alar.
See, now we're getting into availability versus desire to farm it. Invincible, mm-hmm. To me, I think Invincible and Ashes of Alar would be the higher demand ones, but Mimiron's Head also is very, very unique. These have to be pretty close to each other in the percentages. Because
one of them's in the single digits of percentile.
Really?
The other three are double digits.
Okay. So we've got Ashes of Valar since BC, Mimiron's Head and Invincible, and BC for the Fiery Warhorse too. So, but then there's how many people farmed it? How many people wanted to get it? That's the thing.
Right.
Oh, gosh. After thinking it through, I want to say Invincible, but it's so popular, I think, or maybe that's just the bubble that I'm in. But more people farm? But, okay. You can see my thought process here, though.
Oh, no, absolutely. When I looked up the numbers for this, I was surprised by the answer.
Yeah. Well, and another thing is the Fiery Warhorse you can get really early on in Karazhan. You don't have to go to the end.
You dip in, yeah. Fight the first boss, get out.
Get in, get out. Yeah, it's easy. But the other three, you have to finish the entire thing to get to where you need to be. So, gosh. All right, I'm just going to go ahead and say Invincible, but I know I'm probably wrong. So which one is it?
You're wrong.
Okay.
Interesting fact, more people have Ashes of Alar than Fiery Warhorse.
Oh, okay.
Ashes of Alar is 22.9%, Fiery Warhorse is 19%, Invincible is 13.3%, and Mimiron's Head, 8.1%.
Okay. I mean, out of the four mounts with availability, you know, thinking about it that way, it makes sense that Mimiron's Head would be the least.
Yeah, it's kind of has a very specific theme to it. If you're not into mechanical stuff, it wouldn't be your thing.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah, and if you just don't like the helicopter and the constant little noise that it makes. Yeah, it's.
Yep.
That's true. It's very true.
All right. Three questions left. Legion class mounts, Netherlord's Chaotic Wrathsteed, High Lord's Valorous Charger, Farseer's Raging Tempest, or Shadowblade's Lethal Omen. So you got the Warlock, Paladin, Shaman, and Rogue mounts.
Are these the mounts that you can obtain normally from it? Because I know there's a Warlock mount that is that Warlock, the Chaotic, is that the one that drops from a rare?
I did not check specifically. I'll tell you that the Shaman one, Raging Tempest, is a single source and it just changes depending on your spec.
True, okay.
The other three classes have different skins with different sources. I just picked a random one for each of them, but the numbers across for each class were roughly close together. One class was significantly lower than the other three.
Okay, so we've got Paladin, Rogue, and because Shaman, since that's, it's kind of like the Mage mount, you only get one, which I think is unfair to my mount count. It is unfair that Paladins get four of those horses and I get one. I don't think it's fair. So
first World of Warcraft problems.
Exactly. And I'm mad. So we know Shaman's out of the loop. So is it Rogue, Paladin, or Lock? I'm just going to shot in the dark and say Rogue. So the Shadowblade's Lethal Omen.
You are absolutely right. 9.5%.
All right. Yeah.
Warlock and Shaman are in the low 20s. Paladins, 14.3%. All right. Next one, TCG mounts. Next to last one, Swift Spectral Tiger, Amani Dragonhawk, Feldrake, or X-51 Nether Rocket Extreme.
Okay, and that's not the other extreme, right? That's not the... That's the red one, right? Not the blue one?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, so... The thing with these, though, is all four of these mounts, they've had people duping them in the past. So that's why there was a flood of them several years ago, which is probably how I got them off the auction house. Because I just bought them. You know, I can't tell if they were duped or not. Now, if it was the blue one, I would have said the blue one, because the blue one cannot be duped. Only the red one could, for some reason. I don't know why. That's why I had the red one, not the blue one, because I bought it. I have all four of them, so that doesn't help me there. Popularity versus actual buying.
You have a Feldrake?
Yes. Yeah, I've got the only TCG mounts I don't have is the Blue Rocket, the Bear from the Red Baron card, the Camel, and the Hawk, the Strider, the Swift Strider, whatever the ostrich looking one is. I think that those are the three that I don't have. I'll just go ahead and say. I'll shot in the dark and say Feldrake. Because the Swift Spectral Tiger, I think, would be popular enough that the dupers would have made more of them, so people would have bought them. That's my line of thinking, anyway.
You are correct, and Feldrake is the rarest mount in my collection, that 0.8%.
Well, we are the 0.8% then.
We are the 0.8%.
Sweet.
All right, last one, and this is timely and relevant. Mounts that are new in 8.2. This one would have been for all the cheese. Silent Glider from Soundless, Junk Heap Drifter from good old Rust Feather, Ink Scale Deep Seeker from something in Nazjatar that I don't know about, and Rusty Mechano Crawler from the Arachnoid Harvester.
Okay, so the Ink Scale Deep Seeker, that's from PvP in you turn in commendation marks for killing people in Nazjatar, which is
gotcha.
So it has The Junk Heap Drifter from Rust Feather, you can do that every day. Silent Glider, like we talked about earlier, 8 to 12 hours spawn time, low drop chance. So it's either the Ink Scale or the Silent Glider. Because people can potentially farm PvP stuff, I'm going to have to go with the Silent Glider on that one.
0.2% right now have a Silent
Glider. All right. So that was a correct answer on that one?
So if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for the Hearth Steed at question two, you could have gone far, man.
Ah, dang it. I'm sorry, AIE. Enjoy your 50 gold.
Oh, boy. Tetsemi will get a chuckle out of that one for sure.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. That was real fun. Thank you, Ro. That was cool.
not a problem. I mean, I did not expect that result. I did not expect question two, but hey, it worked out all the same.
Obviously, there's not as many mount collectors out there that just shamelessly get all of the store mounts.
True.
Dang it.
Well, before we go, one last thing I did want to talk about is 2 weeks from today, when people are listening to this, 2 weeks from today is August 27th, and that is the launch of World of Warcraft Classic. And it feels like just yesterday when J. Allen Brack said, your favorite ice cream is vanilla.
Well,
which months after he said you think you want it, but you
exactly,
don't.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember. I've seen that. I remember that.
Well, people are going to get it. The beta has been up and down. There's been the pre-launch testing. By the time you hear this, names can be reserved, up to 3 names. You're probably too late to reserve the name you want by now because it's a day after that. Markonen, you've had a little bit of time to play on Classic, right?
Yeah, I did it during the BlizzCon time that they first opened it up, and then poked around a couple days ago during this kind of big stress test that they've got.
And I'm kind of curious. I mean, we talked earlier at the top of near the top of the show, Black Kharaji Battle Tank, man.
Yeah, but I can't remember if they said that they were going to have it set where the gates were already going to be opened when they get to that chapter.
Because
I think I remember them saying that. And if they did, that would absolutely have my answer. But as far as like my opinion on Classic,
yes,
it's pretty much the same on the store mounts. If people want to play, let them play. I played that game 14 years ago. I went on and I moved on to other things. And I got that kind of same. I remember the feeling of first playing WoW. And one of the first things that I noticed going in with my gnome is that if another person killed one of those wolves, they tagged it. I had no opportunity to kill them with it. There was that. Yeah. So even if another Alliance player tags it, they tag it. You don't. If I get to that herb or that mine first, it's mine. No one else gets it. And
feels bad, man.
and that's one of the things that you forget about with your rose colored glasses. It's one of the things that I didn't like about Classic WoW. And it's one of the many small little reasons as to why I will play it. I will definitely play, poke around there. But, you know, I played that game. Yeah. I moved on and I've had a whole lot of great experiences since then. I was in college when that came out and I had a lot of free time. I don't have as much free time now. Because I have bills, I have a family, you know, I have things I have to go and do, so I have less time to play. And granted, I don't think we'll have those dedicated raid groups that, you know, have to raid for, you know, hours and hours a week. Because we've all played this game before. We know how to min-max, you know, what gear to get, what rotations are now. Rotations are a thing. So now that we have all this knowledge, we can potentially go through the content quicker. But for me, I'll play it, but, you know, Markonen is in Battle for Azeroth. He's in Mechagon. He's in Nazjatar. He's not in Old Nomragon. He's not in, you know, Keranos. He's not in Ironforge. He's moved on, you know? So that's kind of my take on it. It's perfectly fine if you want to play it. I am championing you and cheering you on from the comfort of Battle for Azeroth, where we can multi-tag and group loot. We don't have to loot every single thing individually.
Where we can camp Rust Feather every day if we want for that mount to never drop.
Yes, I know. I am still camping. I don't have it yet. So I need to go do that after this. I need to go camp Rust Feather. So I will be doing that after this. But yeah, it's, you know, it's great that they're doing this. I wish they would do that for my first MMO, The Matrix Online. Rest in peace. It got shut down 10 years ago. Like, wow. Just a couple weeks ago is the 10-year anniversary of it getting unplugged. If they would bring
that
back.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Stop making me feel old.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But yeah, if they, you know, it's a great thing to be able to have us, let us go back if we want to the original game and have people play mm-hmm. and do all the stuff. I think it's awesome. It's a great thing. I'm glad that they did it. But just personally, I won't play as much as I do the live game. I'll poke around, maybe, you know, play a level or two at a time. I don't know. Getting a level takes all day now in the original game. So we'll see. Maybe I'll get a bar. I'll do a bar a day. But yeah, I think it's good. I think it's a good thing.
Well, let's see. At a bar a day, 20 bars in a level, 60 levels. So 1200 days. I mean, hey, there you go. I mean, Classic's going to keep you entertained for about 3.5 years. You're set.
Sweet. Awesome. I can't wait. Let's do it.
Let's do it. I've already made my opinion on Classic fairly clear. Mm-hmm. Happy for all the people that are finally going to get to do it. And there's a very strong core community of people that are looking forward to that experience. I think the masses are going to try it out for a day or two, maybe a week, maybe even a month. And after those first few weeks, you're going to see the really dedicated, hardcore people remain with it and continue to do with it. And that's going to be their space. And that's awesome. And for those of us who Classic's not our thing, the cool thing is just being subscribed for Battle for Azeroth means if we ever get the itch to poke into that nostalgia again, it's there. Yeah. And that's great. I don't feel that it's doing any harm to the way I choose to experience WoW.
No, I agree completely. It's the same way I feel about it. You know, more ways to play is never a bad thing. You know, having these options mm-hmm. is great. And, you know, it was always fun to see those bug reports from the beta, the Classic beta, where it's like, this is a bug report that's not really a bug. All the little, you know, the messiness yeah. of Classic WoW. I'm glad they brought it all back with all the kind of unpolished rough edges of the game. I think that's fantastic to preserve the original thing.
Cannot wait to fill my second backpack with soul shards. It's gonna be great.
Oh yeah, and fill my bags with mounts that cost an arm a leg and my firstborn child. Yeah.
Wait a minute, Classic WoW mages had reagents, right?
Oh yeah. We had portal runes, teleportation runes.
Oh gosh.
I think I still have some of the actual runes that are in my live game in the auction in my bank.
You're not going to be able to teleport or portal anywhere because you're going to have too many mounts.
I will be fine because I will charge for porting. That's how I made money. I transmuted Arcanite bars and I charged for portals.
Oh man, you're going to be rich.
Maybe I will play. Maybe I will play. Who wants to be a Classic millionaire?
Mark Conan, it's been fun talking to you, man. I cannot wait for the next one. I was going to get ranty in this episode because the whole point of my focus on mounts for this episode was the fact that one of the big reasons I'm playing Battle for Azeroth right now is because of a mount that doesn't even fly, and I want it.
Which one's that?
Really bad. The Model W.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the only reason I don't like, because Mechagon is a wonderful place with all these great mounts, and none of them fly, which now we have flying. Like, if they had to put it in 8.1.
But it's fine, because it looks cool. It's a freaking wheel.
It looks amazing, and I can't wait.
It is one of the coolest looking mounts in the game, and I can't wait to use it whenever there's a new expansion now, and there's leveling content where you can't fly.
Exactly. Exactly. I can't wait for that either. I'll be riding right there next to you on the wheel, or I'll have my the crab, the scuttler, whatever that's called. It's
walking sideways.
Exactly. And when I said that, when they showed that, I was like, oh, that's weird. But I was like, oh, wait, crabs do walk sideways. Okay, I'm cool with it. Let's do it. I can't wait.
But expect me, if I don't have this Model W mount in about a month from now, expect a very ranty episode or segment on Realm Maintenance where I'm talking about RNG rates in Mechagon, because it's starting to annoy me just a little bit.
Yeah, it is for me too. Like, I couldn't get into the Chromie stuff and do the alternate timeline for like 3 weeks, because every time she was up, I had to work like a 13-hour shift that day and I could not play. So that's that's where I'm at with it. I don't like that part.
Yeah, but hey, I mean, there's my classic experience. I have all the classic experience I need right now in Mechagon with RNG drop rates.
Oh yeah,
I don't need to worry about the 1 out of 7 chance to get a bear ass to turn in for a quest.
They should all have one. They should all. It's like anything. It's like get 43 Murloc eyes. Every Murloc should have 2 eyes.
Right?
Every single one of them, unless the Murloc was unlucky.
Or it was a pirate.
Yeah. This one dropped 3 eyes. What's wrong with it?
Well, Marcone, in between now and the next time that we meet again here, how can people find you on the internet?
Oh, well, the best place to find me is probably on Twitter. You can find me at MarconinWow. That's MarconinWow. That's where you'll see anytime I do get a mount, I take a screenshot and post that. So you'll see that a lot of mountain pictures and a lot of just fun, you know, fun stuff. I don't tweet a whole lot, but yeah, that's the best place to get in contact with me. And thanks for having me back on, Rose. It's always good to talk to you. I'm sad that I won't see you in like 3 months, but that's just how it goes.
We'll be talking again, I think, right before BlizzCon.
Oh, sweet. All right. So good.
We'll definitely be talking around that time. There'll be a lot of hype to talk about because, again, although this is the first year in several that I'm not going to BlizzCon, do not mistake that for me being not hyped about BlizzCon, because I'm definitely hyped about everything BlizzCon. I'm just spending a little less money on it this year, guys.
I definitely feel you there. Feel you there.
You can find me on Twitter at Rowow. That's R-H-O-W-O-W. You can find this show on Twitter at RestartCast. Of course, I do a couple other shows. Hearth Casual if you're into Hearthstone. Realm Maintenance if you're into all podcasts that cover games made by Blizzard Entertainment, including World of Warcraft. And speaking of that, tomorrow, that is Wednesday, August 14th, is the official 7th anniversary of the show. Episode 0 was 7 years ago.
Wow.
That is freaking insane. I cannot believe I put out that many episodes of Realm Maintenance, close to 300. I'm very stoked to celebrate that 7-year anniversary with a special interview, not with a podcaster. I've been teasing that I've had something in the works, and this is the first place I'm going to announce who it is. So I'm talking to a war chief of the Horde on Wednesday, Marconin.
Holy moly. Well, I mean, that does narrow it down to like...
It does.
That narrows it down to like 4 people.
It does.
Gosh. Now I'm all speculating.
I'm super stoked because I did not think that the interview that I got was possible. I simply tossed out an email and said, hey, would you like to talk about voice acting and your character and stuff? And Patty Matson, the voice behind the Dark Lady, the Banshee Ooh. Queen, War Chief Sylvanas Windrunner, is my guest on the 7-year anniversary of the show.
That is amazing, dude. I cannot wait to hear that. She seems to be such a wonderful lady and a great talent.
Oh, yeah.
I got to get her autograph once and talk and say hi and how much I enjoy her work. So you getting to do a
cool
thing was, oh man, I cannot wait. Guys, tune in, be ready to download, because I will be right there with you, because I cannot wait to hear Ro talk to her. And that's awesome.
It's one of the most fun interviews I've had. I got to learn a lot from Patty, learn some things I didn't expect I was going to learn. And the Dark Lady might actually say a couple of things too. So join me and Patty and War Chief Sylvanas Windrunner for a very special episode tomorrow, again, August 14th, on your favorite podcast app of choice. That will do it for now. Marconin, my friend, I will talk to you very close before or after BlizzCon. Can't wait to share the hype.
I can't wait either, Ro. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, buddy. And thanks for having me on again. I'll talk to you guys next time.
All right. Until next time, folks, I've been Ro. He's been Marconin. And we now return you to your regularly scheduled adventures in Azeroth. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, love. The cavalry's here.
It's the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup, brought to you by the Realm Maintenance Podcast. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every show I'm aware of that covers a Blizzard game and posted the recent episode. The following roundup covers all shows posted from August 5th to August 11th of 2019. For general Blizzard podcasts, there's BlizzMates, Blizzard Watch, Geeks of Azeroth, Group Quest, The Instance, Rocky Mountain BlizzCast, Scrubs vs. the World, and The Sundering. Your World of Warcraft shows include all things Azeroth, Azeroth Roundtable, Convert to Raid, Control Alt Wild, Darkmoon Herald, Do Not Run, For Azeroth, Final Boss, Frazzlecast, Girls Gone Wild, The Half-Hole Report, Lion's Pride Tavern, Load Screen Podcast, Merely a Setback, Middlefinger Podcast, Morally Gray, The Starting Zone, Stories Around Azeroth, Technically PvP, Whispers of War, World of Warcast, WoW Challenges, WoW Talk, and WoWhead Weekly. The Classic Casual, Classic Cast, Countdown to Classic, and Stay Classic covered WoW Classic. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 1600 Dusty Anger, Chicken Arena Sensei, Blizzard Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Coin Cassie, Doctor 3, Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Coach, Hero Power Cast, Into the Wild, Legend of the Innkeeper, The Lightforge, Off Curve, Omnistone, Velen's Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. The new meta and Shattered Soulstone cover Diablo, The Pylon took care of StarCraft, Heroes of Storm shows include Ganquish Squad, Into the Nexus, and Q for Fun, general Overwatch shows include Heroes Never Die, Junkertown FM, Know the Lore, and Omnic Weekly, and finally for Overwatch Esports, there's Around the Payload, The Birdwatchers, Blackwatch Report, Brovewatch, Escorting the Payload, House Queens, High Noon, Let's Break It Down, Mayhem Maniacs on the Flank, The Overnerds, Oversight, Overtakes, Overwatch League Happy Hour, Overwatch League Network, Overwatch League Recap, All by the Numbers, Plat Chat, Pulse Bomb Ready, Push the Point, Ready Set Pwn, The Scrapyard, Tactical Crouch, Voicing Valiant, Watch House, and The Week. Weekly Uprising. You can catch a weekly podcast roundup at the end of this show and during the Realm Maintenance Podcast. For links to all these shows and more great content covering Blizzard Entertainment games, go to realm-maintenance.com.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.